Lord, it is in my heart. The word of my mouth. Be pleasing and acceptable to you. The Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever woken up in a panic after a bad dream? I mean, the kind of dream that makes you question if what you were dreaming was real, or if you're awake now, or maybe that was real. The kind of, where am I? What is what? Who, like, what's happening, right? Or, have you ever had an argument or conversation with someone that makes you go, huh, am I losing it? Like, did that just happen or did that not just happen? I thought something happened like this, but you're saying the complete opposite happened. Do I know what reality even is? You kind of shake your head, you know, and you try to kind of get grounded again. Or maybe you've had this experience. You've waken up in a cold sweat. Feverish nausea, that crusty eye feeling like you just went 5 rounds with Mike Tyson. You know? I mean, it's rough. Well, maybe Plato's correct. Maybe we live in a cave with a reflection of reality created us by some unknown actors in the back. But when the women show up at the tomb, when they come to grieve, when they come to take care of what they need to take care of, what had been rushed 3 days earlier, and now they have the time to finally come and take care of the body. They're in a funk. They're having fever dreams. They're having that cold sweat, and they're trying to shake it off, get back to the way that life is supposed to happen. Where does God meet you? Where is it that Christ's redemption and his new life meet you? Because for those ladies, the disciples, all hope is lost. The struggle is over. Another prophet has been taken down. He was killed. It's over. Nothing left now but to take care of the body. By the way, notice how Peter comes rushing to see the empty tomb, but then they just kind of, like, him and the disciple who runs, it's John, they run, right? They get there, they see the empty tomb, and then what happened? They just, like, leave. Kind of anticlimactic, you know? Like, they show up, the tomb's empty, they're like, okay, go back home, right? What is it that happens to Mary? See, Jesus at the day of the resurrection, of new life. Jesus in the Gospel of John doesn't burst forth from the tomb, right? Doesn't, ta-da, right? He doesn't do that. Jesus in the Gospel of John is tending a garden. He's walking around the garden in the cool of the day. Jesus, the one who speaks creation into being, who was present with Adam and Eve. He comes back to the garden. He makes the garden new. A brand new Garden of Eden for you and for me, where once again, he walks with his people. This whole week, I couldn't shake this hill that I remember singing at my my mother and father-in-law's Methodist church. So I'm going to sing a hymn for you. It goes, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the rose. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That hymn is the hymn of Easter. I mean, Mary is literally walking around with Jesus. She just doesn't know it. And I love how Deacon Beckley read the gospel today when she said the Jesus, let me flip to it. Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary? Now, I think my personal interpretation is that Jesus says to her, Mary!
I
know who that is. Jesus, right? Rabboni, teacher, right? I think that Jesus had to startle her into reality. Because Jesus is alive. A new day has dawned. The Garden of Eden is once again. Look outside. See the tulips. See the trees in blue. See all of the light that is happening around us. There are parishioners today who were talking about little baby goats, right? Little lambs, the calves that are walking around. The world is waking up because it's Easter. Sometimes you have to look hard for it. Sometimes the new Eden is but a whisper. It's just a little quiet whisper. The moments in life when you see God at work, when you feel loved, when you feel cherished, when you are truly joyful and you are alive. Not because of some substitute for love, but because of the real deal. An experience of God in your midst, knowing his life and his resurrection. Because we could talk with him. We could trust in it. And we will never, ever again, like Adam and Eve, we will not be banished from his love. Because Jesus came and died for you and for me. He took the punishment. He bore the pain and the suffering. And God proved that Jesus is Lord by raising him from the dead. This. Alleluia. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.